So it turns out that Trump's case in Georgia, the RICO case, the one that was supposed to get him thrown in prison, in a state prison in Georgia, so he wouldn't be able to pardon himself if he somehow became president again. Well, it turns out that case is completely, essentially a fib. The prosecutor for it is in some legal trouble, and she may actually be able to be charged with RICO, which is ironic because she's charging Trump with RICO, but it turns out she might be able to be charged with RICO on her own terms, which would be really interesting to see. So in today's episode, we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about the recent polling, well, somewhat recent polling, showing Donald Trump in the lead in the Electoral College vote and even in the popular vote. So we'll get to that later as well. Be sure not to miss it. So for the Georgia RICO case, it's really interesting because this all started with Donald Trump making a phone call to, I believe it was Brian Kemp in Georgia, saying, "Find me more votes in Georgia." And Letitia, whatever her name is, the person prosecuting Donald Trump, Fannie Willis, found out that, well, found out, she assumed that that meant that Trump was trying to commit some sort of voter fraud. And so this is where it gets super interesting. Based on her assumptions, she decided to prosecute him. She did not take in any external evidence to prove that Trump indeed committed voter fraud. She instead took what he said and assumed that his intentions were to commit fraud. Which, number one, you're not supposed to do that as a prosecutor, but she did. So okay, this isn't where she goes wrong legally speaking. Where she goes wrong legally speaking is next. What she does next is she hires a co-prosecutor on the team, which is not uncommon. This happens all the time. But what is uncommon is hiring your partner to be your co-prosecutor. And so she hired her partner, someone who she was in a relationship with and dating or whatever at the time. They are not married, by the way. They're just dating, seeing each other, whatever people call it these days. They're doing that weird thing. So her partner, essentially, to be a co-prosecutor, and she's paying him with publicly funded money. So she's paying him with taxpayer dollars to help co-prosecute. And that's where it gets a little iffy. So she can prosecute Trump without necessarily having proof that Trump meant what he said on the phone call in a fraudulent way. Because when he goes to trial, he can prove that he's innocent. It's a prosecution, not a trial. So that's what makes that technically still legal, just immoral. It's not okay to do it, but it is technically legal to do that. What is illegal is hiring your partner to be a co-prosecutor and then paying him with taxpayer dollars in order to better prosecute Donald Trump. So, something that I find hilarious is when Fannie Willis was running for election, her entire election scheme was, "Vote for me because we're sick of prosecutors hiring other people who are their partners and taking money from the state for their own personal use." Well, it turns out she did exactly what she said she's against. She hired her partner to be a co-prosecutor, and she paid him with taxpayer dollars to go on vacations. So the whole scheme here is, in the trial, Fannie Willis's partner said that he paid for vacations and she reimbursed him. The claim is that she reimbursed him with taxpayer dollars, which may or may not be true. There's no evidence that she did that or not, because she said she paid him with cash. And when she was asked where that cash came from, she was like, "Oh, of a variety of sources." Well, the thing about cash is technically untraceable. If you pay someone with literal physical cash on hand, you cannot go on a computer and trace where that came from. If you pay with a credit card, you can trace it. You pay with a debit card, you can trace it from one bank account to another bank account. Digital transactions are very traceable, but cash transactions are not very traceable. You have serial numbers on cash, but that does nothing. It doesn't track the cash. It doesn't tell you who's had the cash. It's not traceable. So that's problem number one, but that's not what's going to get her disqualified from this case. What's going to get her disqualified from the case is the fact that she did not tell or report that she hired her partner to be a prosecutor. And so the Trump team is arguing, because she hired her partner and they were partners before the prosecution began, because she hired her partner to prosecute Donald J. Trump. Because of that, things and facts that are being presented are different. The way she's going at this prosecution is different. She's hiring personal people, people she knows personally, who will agree with her on things in order to prosecute Trump better. So she's trying to force an outcome on the in this prosecution without going through it the right way. There's no right way to go through a forced prosecution. She's trying to force an outcome on the prosecution, essentially, by hiring her partner. That's the entire claim. And it looks like the Trump legal team is winning this one. So, Fannie Willis, this was a few days ago now, she decided to testify on the stand. And just a piece of advice for someone: if you're in a civil trial, like right now Fannie Willis is in a civil trial, if you're in a civil trial and you are considering going up on the stand to make your case, don't do it. Just don't. Pick good witnesses, do all that good stuff, have a good legal team, but don't go on the stand yourself unless the opposition asks you to, which I'm not sure if they can do that, but if they can and they ask you to, then you obviously you're obligated to. But do not choose with your own free will to go on the stand and make arguments for yourself, because it never works well. Literally never. And so she did that, and she made the entire case that, well, so he's my partner and we've been doing this for a while, but he wasn't my partner before the prosecution began, which she lied when she said that because witnesses claim otherwise. But he was my partner when the prosecution began, and by the way, I committed campaign fraud when I took some money from my campaign and used it for personal use. That was hilarious when she said that. So, when she testified, she literally admitted to committing a crime. She won't get in trouble for admitting that she committed the crime, because the prosecution's for a different crime, and they can't start another one during it current. Yeah, it just doesn't work that way. So she won't get in trouble for it, but it's hilarious because now the personal optics, how people view her, is gone down. And that's what all of this is about. Trump could be possibly right on every single point ever that he's ever presented in his entire life, but that doesn't mean he's going to win an election. And that comes true when it comes to these trials. And these trials that we're seeing right now, it doesn't really matter how right or correct Donald Trump is, it is how people perceive him to be. So in this current trial in Georgia, how people perceive him to be is a victim of political prosecution. Even some Democrats are viewing that one as political prosecution. Simply because Fannie Willis has lost her mind. Because of the civil trial that she's now in, thanks to allegations that she hired her partner before the prosecution even began, now the optics have changed. It's no longer, look at Trump, he's a criminal. It's, look at Trump, he's actually getting prosecuted for political reasons, not necessarily because he committed the crime. And that is what matters in this upcoming election, because his trials will be a centerpiece of this upcoming election. It does not matter how correct he is in these trials, it matters how people perceive him to be. And this also carries forward with the New York fraud case that just ended. So the New York fraud case, we all know the judge and prosecutor, they ran on the idea that, hey, we're going to go after Donald Trump. And this was before anyone had any idea that Trump had committed some sort of legal financial fraud. This was before any of that. So they said, we'll find something that Trump did and we'll prosecute him for it. And I remember when they were elected and hearing that, and I was like, oh, great. So now we're going to be dealing with this for 4 years. And yeah, we're dealing with this for 4 years. But the thing about this one is people are, again, viewing Trump as someone who is being politically prosecuted for political purposes, not for judicial purposes. Again, this is similar to the Georgia case. It does not matter the outcome of this legal trial. He lost the case. He's going to appeal it, but he lost the initial case. He is forced to pay $350 million to the state of New York and can no longer do business in the state of New York with any of his Trump businesses for the next 3 years. That is terrible on his company, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because people are perceiving him to be politically prosecuted. The people who once believed that Trump committed actual financial fraud, which he may have in New York, that's besides the point. It matters how people perceive it. People who once perceived him to have committed the fraud no longer do. And they don't because the optics have shifted. So first of all, the optics have shifted in New York specifically because Trump had a really good argument. His really good argument is the prosecutor and the judge are prosecuting me, not because I committed the fraud, but because, and this is extremely important, but because they ran on the idea that I should be prosecuted before they even knew that I may have committed fraud. That was his argument. And the second part of the argument is, in other states, you don't get prosecuted for fraud in this case. And that's true. So in I believe every single American territory and state, with the exception of New York, financial fraud can only be prosecuted and you can only be proven guilty if someone else who you committed fraud against lost money because of the fraud. And so they join the prosecution against you. That is the only way it works in every single state except for New York. So in New York, where Trump was claimed to have committed the fraud, he technically did, by legal standards, commit fraud. But he didn't harm anyone financially, which means it is not prosecutable in every single state except for New York. So we'll see how this turns out in New York. He is appealing it. Will it change the outcome? I think it might change how much he has to pay the state, but it will not change him doing business in New York. I think he's done doing business in New York for the next 3 years, no matter what the appeals say. I could be wrong, but this is just the way it is. But again, it does not matter what the outcome is. It doesn't matter how many years Trump can't do business in New York. It doesn't matter how much he has to pay the state of New York. What matters is how people perceive it to be. And as of right now, people are perceiving this outcome as a political outcome. Someone who came up with this outcome based on a political reason to politically go against Donald Trump. That is how people are perceiving this outcome. And so it really doesn't matter in New York. And all of this leads to one massive outcome. Every single one of these trials go to one outcome, and that is a Trump victory in 2024. So in Michigan and Wisconsin, Trump, we'll start with Wisconsin. Wisconsin's actually his second to least likely swing state to win. In Wisconsin, he's leading by an average of around 1 to 2 points. And Wisconsin is ideologically conservative. So they tend to vote for a more conservative candidate unless that candidate is absolutely crazy. Like in 2020, they viewed Trump as crazy, so they voted for Biden. It's just the way it is. That's why they're a swing state. This is different. So right now, Wisconsin's still obviously ideologically conservative, but they're viewing Biden as mentally incompetent. So their options are this: a mentally incompetent old doddering fool who will probably have his vice president take over within 2 or 3 years after he gets reelected, or this crazy man who, I mean, the country kind of prospered under him for his first 3 years. Those are their two options. And so they're polling for Trump. I think they will vote for Trump in 2024 by maybe 3 points when November comes around. So with Michigan's even crazier. So Michigan is ideologically liberal, but Trump is leading current polls in Michigan by 5 points. And the reason he's leading in 5 points in Michigan is because Michigan actually has a standard of voting for third-party candidates. So Kennedy, Stein, and West actually are polling pretty decently in Michigan. By decently, I mean like 15, 7, and 3%. That's decent for a third candidate. And a lot of those third candidate support comes from Joe Biden and not Donald Trump. So that's what's making Donald Trump poll more in Michigan. I think he'll actually win Michigan by more than that because a lot of the northern Democrats in Michigan are Muslim, and they're not enthusiastic to vote for Biden because of the war in Gaza right now. So I think Michigan will go for Trump by a large margin. Arizona is polling for Trump by about 6-5 points. Nevada is polling for Trump by about 7-8 points. Pennsylvania is switching. So every once in a while, there'll be a poll that comes up for Pennsylvania. It'll switch from Biden plus one to Trump plus one. Pennsylvania is going to be a tight race, but it doesn't matter. If Trump wins Georgia, which he's looks like he'll win Georgia by 8 points, North Carolina, which he'll probably win by 4 or 5 points, Nevada, Arizona, Michigan, Wisconsin, he can lose Pennsylvania and still win with 290 electoral votes. And all of this is because of a Democrat problem. So Democrats thought it was a good idea to prosecute Trump in order to keep him from becoming the Republican nominee. Well, that didn't happen. Instead, the exact opposite happened. They prosecuted Trump, and he becomes the de facto nominee because of those prosecutions. Republicans look at Trump and they think, "Whoa, he's getting prosecuted. I should throw my support behind him." Again, it doesn't matter what is factually correct. It matters how people perceive it to be. And that is how people perceived it to be. They perceived him to be politically prosecuted, so they threw their support behind Trump. Democrats then went, "Okay, well, if we keep on these prosecutions and maybe get a couple convictions out, people will no longer support Trump in the general election." Well, they got a conviction in New York, and more people are supporting Trump because more people are perceiving it as a political prosecution. Georgia, they will never get a conviction because Fannie Willis will be disqualified from that case, which means it will be up to a different prosecutor to continue that case. And that different prosecutor can just shut down the case altogether. He doesn't have to continue it. He can continue some of the charges, all the charges, or just none of them. And I believe he won't continue any of them because the RICO case is ridiculous. So there's five cases against Trump. So there's that one done. The hush money one, I don't know what state that one's located in, but the hush money one, I mean, okay, everyone knew Trump was not a great person. That's not the argument, though. People already perceive Trump to be kind of a douchebag. They just perceive him to be better than Biden and politically prosecuted. So because of this, the hush money case really isn't going to do anything. I believe Trump will lose the hush money case. He'll have to pay, well, whatever her name was, a lot of money, but in the end, it won't get anywhere. It won't hurt him in the polls. The Jack Smith case, I believe that one is also over January 6th. It's not going anywhere. The classified documents case, that one he probably, well, probably, that one he is guilty of. He had classified documents and easy to access location. That is illegal, government speaking, or government wise speaking, officials speaking, whatever you want to call it. That's illegal. But I don't necessarily think he will get convicted. And the reason why is because, first of all, Joe Biden did the exact same thing. There was a recent report that came out that showed Joe Biden did the literal exact same thing. But the only reason why they are not prosecuting Joe Biden is because he will appear to be an old, gentle man with a very poor memory. And that's a quote. They don't want to prosecute him because he has bad memory and he's old. Don't think he can be president then either. And by the way, that report's public. So people's perception of Donald Trump compared to Joe Biden went up after that came out. Expect better polls to be coming out real soon, thanks to that report. So Trump's argument is, we didn't prosecute Joe Biden, he did the exact same thing, and also you didn't prosecute Hillary Clinton, who is not a gentle old woman who has bad memory. She was in fact perfectly healthy, but because her intent was supposedly different, you did not prosecute her. So I should not be convicted of these charges. That is his argument, or will be his argument in court for that one. So all of these cases will end up to almost nothing. They're insurmountable. They're going nowhere. Trump will win most of them. Maybe he'll lose a couple financial ones, like the New York fraud case, the was it, what was her name? Sandy Williams? Was that her name? The hush money case. I forget her name because I really don't care that much. Trump's a bad person, we all know that, but he was a decent president for his first 3 years, so there's that. Trump's going up in the polls because of all this. Again, just a reminder, it doesn't matter what the facts are. When an election time happens, I used to fall into the trap of, but you must under, well, Let me put this in a different way. I used to fall into the trap of trying to convince people that my candidate is best by telling them, you must understand the facts. If we do this and this and this nationally speaking, the country will do better. And this person says he will do this, this, and this nationally speaking. So under this person, the country will be better. Well, that might be true, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the facts are. What matters is how people perceive it to be, which is exactly why DeSantis did not get the nomination. DeSantis did not get the Republican nomination and had to drop out because people perceive Trump to be running as an incumbent. People think Trump won, or Republicans think Trump won in 2020, which means he's running as an incumbent, which is exactly why DeSantis did not win the nomination. He probably will in 2028, but this is this year we're talking about. It doesn't matter what facts are, it just matters how you perceive the facts to be, how you think this is going to change things, and how you think of a certain person. That's all that matters. And the two people that we are thinking about right now, that we're actively perceiving, are Donald Trump and Joe Biden. And we're comparing them constantly. Joe Biden and Donald Trump. People perceive Donald Trump to be better than Joe Biden right now, which is exactly why Donald Trump is likely to win the presidential election this November. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for choosing Weekly Politics as your podcast today. I'll catch you all later. God bless you. Adios.